This week is Parshas Bo. Bo El Paro. It's a jam-packed Parsha. It's an emotional Parsha. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Makas Bechoyres. It's a very, very powerful Parsha. The Baalei Kriya will tell you it's a hard Parsha to learn. Correct? It's a hard Parsha, but Parsha Bo is not so easy. Ve'eru is even harder. Okay, Ve'eru is even harder. But it's a big Parsha. There's a lot of things going on in Parshas Bo.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
I know.
So let's begin with I want to combine some. You taught.
I taught the four of his.
Wow! I didn't do that. Wow! Bo is the bar mitzvah. Happy birthday! Wish him a happy birthday from the Kollel.
Oh,
hey Google, sing happy birthday. It's not on. I thought it was on. Okay, it's not on. Try another time. Okay, Rabbi, so let's learn. We have over here Parshas Bo, and the Parsha begins with. I want to combine a vart together with a saying which is a half vart and half joke. You understand what I mean when I finish. So let me go through the steps. There was once a Rebbe, Maya Shahaya, happens every day, this phenomenon. A Rebbe has a student, and the student is not the brightest. Maybe he is bright, but whatever, the communication between the Rebbe and the student is not 100%. And the student very much wants to learn, wants to understand a concept, a principle, a Tosfos, a piece of Gemara. And the Rebbe sits down with the student, and he pours his heart out, and he tries with everything that he has to explain this difficult concept to the student. He spends a half an hour explaining it in detail. And after the lecture, this private lecture, the student says to the Rebbe, "Rebbe, I'm sorry, I don't understand. I really don't get it. I know, I see you trying, you're explaining to me all the angles. Okay, come back tomorrow. We'll try again tomorrow. Come back tomorrow." The Rebbe sits down with the student, and the Rebbe, Nochamo, he explains it to the student, this time for 45 minutes. In utter detail, all the angles, all the elements, how it all comes together to understand this, the sheer, this concept, whatever it is. And the student, after 45 minutes, says to the Rebbe, "Rebbe, I'm sorry, I don't get it. I don't understand." So the Rebbe says, "All right, we'll try again tomorrow." The Rebbe again tomorrow, he sits down with the student for an hour, and he explains in utter detail from beginning to end all of the principles, the foundation, the development, the conclusion, all of the loopholes, all of the details. And then he looks at the student, and the student says to the Rebbe, "You know, it's already 3 days. I'm sorry to tell you, I still don't understand this shir." So the Rebbe says, "Okay, but you should know something, that today for the first time, I understood it." That's right, you don't, but by me saying it over, the first time I didn't understand what I was just, you know, lip service. I was explaining it. The second time I also didn't. After saying it to you, the third, now I understand. Now I, anyone who has taught anything in their life, anything, knows how true this is. You don't really know anything until you teach. When you walk into the classroom, you know nothing. When you give it over, you then first understand.
You have to hear yourself say it, and then it doesn't make sense. I had
even self-saying it. The experience of reality, of really, really speaking to a live human being and communicating is the only way you will ever come yourself to understand an idea, a concept, and a principle. And even if you understood it, the depth of a concept will be much, much greater, infinitely greater after you give it over to someone else.
Right.
Okay, so this is one yesite. Okay, now let's go to the pasuk. The pasuk here begins with Vayoyim Hashem el Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, "Boil power ki ani chladis libi yasei va'avadav leman." Okay, she see oisa sa'ile b'kirbo. Pasuk Beis is the key pasuk. Uleman, the purpose of all of these makos, the purpose of all of this in general is to saper. I want you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to speak, to relate. Be'oznei vincha, in the ears of your children. Uven bincha, eis asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim. This that I have mocked, what I have done to the Egyptians, and how I have mocked them. V'yes oisai sayasher samtivam. And here are the key words. And when you will be misaper, when you will, this is a standalone vart. I'm going to combine it with my other vart in one moment, but just let the vart is standalone. Vidatem ki ani Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, what does it say here, the word tisaper? Why doesn't it say, Lama, you should be Haggadah, an expression of Haggadah, an expression of Dibur, an expression of Amira? Why here do the Pasuk use this unusual expression, Tisaper? The answer is Tisaper. The purpose over here of this conversation is not so much that your children should understand. It's you should understand. Like what we just said, but I'm not finished yet. That you should understand. Moshe, do you really know what's going on? You're my agent. There's no one that knows, has more inside information about what's taking place in Egypt than you. But Moshe Rabbeinu, even you don't know what's going on. Even you don't appreciate the depth of what's taking place over here. And the only way that you will know, and by extension, the whole Klal Yisrael will know, is through relating to Saper. Tisaper is a word which has a connotation, not just lip service, conversation, engagement, communication. Discuss every facet, every detail. Go through all the pratim. And when you will go through that exercise of relating this information to your children and grandchildren, guess what? The goal will be not that they understand. Don't worry about them so much. They'll figure it out. You will understand. Vidatem, through being tisaper, be'oznei vincha ve'mincha, eser shalat b'mitzrayim, v'yes oisaseh sher samti bam, then, vidatem, you will know, ki ani Hashem. Basically, the vark that we just said. But there's one additional factor I want to add into this. And that is, here we have children and grandchildren. It's very rare. Most of the Torah, by and large, is about children. We don't have this concept of grandchildren. We have a Matan Torah. We have it. Leman v'hodata v'hodatem levonecha v'nevonecha v'nevonecha yoy masher amata lefnei Hashem v'yecha b'choyreth. Matan Torah, there's an in of Matan Torah to the grandchildren. But besides Matan Torah, the mitzvahs of Habein al Ha'av, Bris Milah, don't apply to grandchildren. This is the classic Shaila. If your grandfather and your father at the same time ask you for a glass of water, to whom do you give the glass of water? To your father or your grandfather? Why not apply the rule you learned in ninth grade, the chain rule? If A equals B and B equals C, A equals C. If your father is obligated to honor his father, and you're obligated to honor your father, so you should give the glass of water to your grandfather.
You would think.
Kamash Balon Chazal, that's a mistake. You're obligated, kabeid esavicha v'yasimecha. Not your grandfather. You have an obligation to honor your grandfather, that's certain. But when push comes to shove, when there's a conflict, avicha. Don't be a super duper lamdan. Don't outsmart yourself. Torah very much wants you to limit your chokhmah at times. Don't go overboard.
In a negative way, you have
Okay, that's from Hashem's perspective. That's Hashem. Hashem's hanhagos goes down to generations. That's Hashem. But you generally, we only have an obligation to deal with the next generation. When it comes to bris milah, you have an obligation to do a bris milah on your son. You have no obligation to do a bris milah on your grandson. Why? If I have an obligation for my son, and my son has an obligation to his son, so shouldn't that translate that I have an obligation to do a bris milah on my grandson?
Maybe.
No, it doesn't.
Maybe
it doesn't. No. That doesn't work. That doesn't work like that. It doesn't. That here we have something very unique. Here we have uleman tisaper. I'm going to bring the makkah of arbe, and by extension, it's really referring to all the makkahs. Beoznei vincha uven bincha eis asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim v'es oisos asher samti vam vidatem ki ani Hashem. Now let's combine this with what we just said. Torah is telling you, Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to understand what's happening. Like the example I gave you. On day one, when the Rebbe gave over the shir to the student said, Rebbe, I don't understand, I'm sorry. Day two, the Rebbe spent even more time, and the student said, Rebbe, I don't understand. Day three, the student said, Rebbe, it's the third day. You told it to me today for an hour, and I still don't understand. But the Rebbe says, yeah, but today is a Yom Tov, because today I finally understand it. Hashem says, Moshe, you think by relating it to your children, you're going to understand it? Nah. You're going to have to repeat this story again and again and again. Wait until they become adults, get married, have grandchildren. Wait until the grandchildren are old enough to have intelligence. And when you'll tell over the story for the 20th time, 20 years later, to your grandchildren? Then first you'll understand. It's not just, Moshe, you have in front of you a table of children, grandchildren, and in one shot, you're going to say, let me relate to Saper, to you, the story of the Exodus. One shot. Everyone sit around the table, my children, my grandchildren, I'm going to say it once, listen carefully. And by me expressing and giving over the story of the Exodus, now I have a much deeper understanding. That's not the pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu, today you have children. Moshe had two children. So sit down at the table. How old were they? I don't know. Make believe they're 10 years old. And are they married? Have grandchildren? No, not yet. Tell it to them. Tell them the story. Next year, tell it to them again. Next year again. Couple of years, they're 18 years old. Then they're 20 years old. And then they finally get married. And then they have grandchildren. And every year you're telling it again and again and again. Moshe, by the time you get up to your grandchildren and you're telling the story of the Exodus to your grandchildren 25 years from now, that's when Vidatem Ki Ani Hashem. It'll take you 25 times until you'll get it. Just like the story that I told you before. The first day I didn't understand, the second day, now at least I understand. It took the Rebbe three times to give the shir three times for the Rebbe first to understand. Hashem is saying the story, your ability to understand the story depends on your grandchildren. That's how many times you're going to have to be mesaper the story for generations until it'll sink into your head the depth of what happened at this time in history. And all the lessons and the messages and the beauty of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, let's now go to Rav Michal's favorite topic. The first Rashi challenge. What do you call it? You have it in Nusach. The first Rashi challenge. This week is Parshas Bo, as we mentioned. And this week we come to Yoim Revi'i. Each day, each Aliyah, if you Maver Sedra, the most efficient way, each day, each Aliyah is broken up into a day. And on Wednesday is the laning of Yom Revi'i. And we begin to relane HaChodesh Hazel Lechem Rosh Chodeshim. Vayem Hashem Moshe. Revi'i, Vayem Moshe, Koyom Hashem, Kechatzis HaLayla. And then we come to the end of the perek. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe V'yel Aharon. Be'eretz Mitzrayim Leimar HaChodesh Hazel Lochem Rosh Chodeshim. Beautiful. The first mitzvah in the Torah for Klal Yisrael. This takes us back. Wait, what took so long? This is the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael as a nation were commanded. What took so long? Go back to Bereishis. Bereishis, the first Rashi in the Torah, is Omar Rabbi Yitzchak. This is not Rashi's father. Rabbi Yitzchak is a Tana in the Medrash. Tana, it's a Medrash. It's a Medrash. Rabbi Yitzchak is a Tana. He's a Tana. Some will say that Rashi selected a Tana who happened to have his father's name to give honor to his father. But this is not not like the Welt says, is that Rashi mechaber his father. His father is Yitzchaki. Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki. This is a Farish Tana in the Medrash. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak. Long before Rashi's father lived. Lohaya tzarich lahaschil es ha-toyra ela mehachodesh hazelochem shehi mitzvah rishoyna shenitztavu bo Yisrael uma atam posach tebreishis mishum koyach masav higili amo lo seis lohem nach laskoyim shem yoyimu umas ha-olam li Yisrael listim atem, you're ganovim, you have conquered the land shekibashtem arotzois shiva goyim, you have conquered the land of the seven nations. The Jewish people will say to the Umay Sa'ilam, we're not listing. Hey, Maimrim Lohem, Kol Haret Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hu Bira'ah, he created it. Vinosna Lasher Yoshar Be'inav, he gave it to those who were fitting in his eyes. Biritzoinai Nitna Lohem, Hashem gave the seven nations the land temporarily. Uviritzoinai Nitla Mehem, Vinitna Lanu, he gave it to us. Period. That's the first Rashi, the famous first Rashi. I have no big chidush to tell you, Rabbi says. I want to make a few say a few words. First of all, there's a very important deek in this Rashi. Rashi says she mitzvah rishona shenitztavu bo Yisrael. It was not necessary for Rashi to say shenitztavu bo Yisrael. If Rashi would have just wrote Lo hayat tzarich lahaschil es ha-toyra ela me'achodesh hazeh lochem shi mitzvah rishoyna, we would have been very happy. There's no need for Rashi to emphasize that the first mitzvah was shenitztavu bo Yisrael. It's not necessary. Yet Rashi says no. Ha-chodesh hazeh lochem roish chodoshim is a mitzvah shenitztavu bo Yisrael. Thus, the ikur tafkid, you have to appreciate this point, of Bereishis until this week's parasha is not even for us. It's for the Umay Soilam, the one that has the front row seats in shul from Bereishis until this week's parasha with the Goyim. This week, we tell the Goyim, get up out of the front row seats, get out of the Mizruch, sit in the back. In the back, when the Baal Kriya lanes, he's laning for us. But that also means to appreciate that until now, who was sitting in the Mizrach? The Umay Sa'ilam. We don't normally look at it like that. We look at the Torah, it's all for us. All for us. Hashem is not speaking to us. Hashem is only speaking to us. You know, they can overhear what's going on. Rashi, he emphasizes the first mitzvah shenitztavu bo Yisrael is Parshas Bo. Umatam posach bebereishis mishum koich mas higil amo lo seis lem nachlas goyim shim yoimru umois ha'olam. From Bereishis until Parshas Bo is Hashem is speaking to the umois ha'olam. We are overhearing a conversation that Hashem converses with the Umay Yisraelim. They sit in the Mizruch, and we sit in the Ezras Noshem. We're just eavesdropping. Parshas Bo is a very powerful parasha, because it means we get them out of the shul, and we take their place. The tone, the Baal Kriya is addressing us, not the Umay Yisraelim. It's a very significant shift. Now, let's go a step further. It's an idea in and of itself, which is not really related to what I'm about to say now, but it does in some way or form. We have a principle, ha-foich ba, ha-foich ba, du-kulu ba. If we were blessed, with great knowledge, we will be able to see current events in the not only in the Parshas HaShavuah, we'll be able to go further down and see in every aliyah of the Parsha, the current events of the day of the week. So whatever is happening in the world on Sunday can be found in the first aliyah of the Parsha. Whatever is happening in the world on Monday can be found, the lessons, the Musar, insights into understanding what is going on and what we should know, the lessons, and prepare ourselves for can be found in this in the second aliyah. What happened on Wednesday today in the world? A very significant event happened on Wednesday in the world. I hope I'm not getting confused. The peace process, the peace deal of the century, whatever you want to, Trump has a lot of inflated, exaggerated nuschos. Okay, whatever you want to say. The President of the United States, this is not a small potatoes here. President of the United States, the leader of the free world, very arguably the most influential person in the entire world, arguably the most powerful person in the entire world, okay, has at his fingertips the wealth and the power of the entire world at his disposal. It's not a joke. Presented to our enemies, the Palestinians, a proposal to his son-in-law of peace. He should stop the killing. Stop the nonsense. This is not a small thing. When did it happen? On Wednesday. Wednesday was the big announcement. Delays, going on for because of the elections in Israel, v'chulu, at Khan, the buck stops here. We're presenting the plan today. Big announcement. It was presented by his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, Shomer Torah u'Mitzvos, presented this peace plan. Haloi Dovar, on Wednesday, when it says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim, the mitzvah Rishonah Shenitztavu Bo Yisrael, and this is where the Torah should have really begun, and meaning that until now, it takes us back to the beginning. What's going on? Why then did we have Parshas Bereishis, the whole Chumash Bereishis, all about the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael? The answer is because the Umos HaOlam have to know whose world this is. It's the world that belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He created it. He gave it to you for a period of time, and now the time is over. It's time to leave. Hu Nosna Lohem, V'nidla mehem, v'nosna l'asher yoshar be'enav. This Rashi leaped off the page on Wednesday for two reasons. Number one, we've reached the pasuk of HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem that was written by Rashi, the first Rashi in the Chumash. We've reached that pasuk, which takes us back to the beginning of the Torah. And number two, isn't that exactly what the peace deal is all about? At Khan, it's time to acknowledge that there's a state of Israel, there's an Am Yisrael, and they're entitled to live in peace in their land. Isn't that exactly what happened in the world of reality? And the coincidence that it happened on Wednesday, Yom Revi of Parashas Bo, the timing is one in a billion. It's Hashkocha Pradis. Now, you'll say to me, it's not the first time there was a peace plan. This has been going on for ages. Every politician on television, I also tried to make a peace plan and this is not going to work. And he had every, I don't want to say some not nice words, but every politician who ever in the history of Israel and the Palestinians who ever been alive had to come out of the woodwork and say his two cents. and say this is nonsense, it's good, it's not good, and everyone likes to toot their own horn and tell you about their experience and why it's not going to work, why it's this going to work, that going to. So that's right, so big deal, this is old news. No, there's something very different, very, very different about what happened on Wednesday that never happened before. Never. What's going to be, no one knows. No one knows the future. No one knows what's good. Who says it's good? No one knows anything. No one knows what's going to be. No one knows if it's good, it's not good. That is a given. But there was something very different. And that is the peace plan for the very first time in I don't know how many years you can say this. Maybe even 2,000 years. Was presented by a person who is a shomer Torah u'mitzvahs. By a person who's shomer Shabbos. A person who wears tefillin. A person who is nizar in all the laws of the Torah. Taras HaMishpacha. He is the one who was in charge to present, coordinate, craft this plan. A person who's a shomer Torah u'mitzvahs. Rashi has very precise words. Rashi's words are Shim yoimru u'mayisayolam li Yisrael. Listim atem. You're a bunch of bandits. You're thieves. The word listim is a dirty word. It's a dirty, dirty word. It has even more than four letters. It's a very bad word. A lot of very unpleasant connotations. Shekibashtem. You conquered. It's also a very dirty word. Arotzoi shivas goyim. Now, one nation. Seven. The Canaanim, we're calling it seven nations. What kind of people are you? Are they going to listen to us? What could you possibly tell the Umay Sa'olam? They don't want to hear anything. They're not interested in anything. They'll do whatever they want. Hey, Mayim Lohem. So we're going to say to them, Kol Haaretz Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hi. They really want to hear that? They don't want to hear. They don't even want to believe in God. Hu B'ra'ah V'nosna, but He created it. And here are the key words. V'nosna La'asher Yashar Be'enav. That's a three-letter word. Yashar Be'enav. Why is Chumash Bereshis called Chumash Bereshis? It's called, what is Chumash Bereshis called? Sefer HaYoshar. Al Kenah Hu Kosev Al Sefer HaYoshar. Chazal say Chumash Bereshis is Sefer Yoshar. Why is it Sefer Yoshar? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They are the Yesharim. What is special about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? It's a pasuk in the Chumash. Ki yidativ. Hashem says about Avraham, I love him. Why? Leman, because asher yitzave esbonov v'esbeisoy acharov lishmor derech Hashem. Because he's observant. Torah is not just theoretical. Ethics, morals. He demands of his children and his grandchildren lishmor derech Hashem, to guard the derech Hashem, the mitzvahs, the tariag mitzvahs. He's a yoshar. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. For the first time in history, in modern history, since the Churban, the person representing the state of Israel, which we all know had a very difficult secular beginning, a very rocky beginning with passion and a lot of emotion on both sides of the aisle, of secular Zionism versus religious Zionism. For the first time, the entire world is being presented. This was headlines in the entire world. A new peace plan. It sounds like all the other peace plans. A little more land, a little less land. One state, two states, demilitarized, not demilitarized. Conditions, it's all the same. You can take this peace plan and go back 30 years. take a piece of it, and you'll read the news. You can literally fool someone by taking a clipping from the Jewish press 30 years ago, reading it to you, and you would think literally it was yesterday's news. I guarantee you. It's all the same rehashed stuff. It's all the Zelbezach. It's all the same words all over again. The only difference is that the person presenting it is a person who's Yosha Be'enach. He is that person. Doesn't have to be your version of a Charedim, okay, with a strimble and payas and a bekisha, but he doesn't have to even wear a yarmulke. But he's an observant Jew. He's a shomer Torah. He sat in cheder and learned this Rashi, the same way everyone here learned that Rashi. He read in yeshiva the pasuk and the Rashi. He wears tefillin. He observes Shabbos. He's the Taras HaMishpacha. What more do you want? Leman asher yitzave esbonov v'esbeisoy acharov lishmor derech Hashem. These are the Yesharim. When the person presenting the plan to tell the Umma Yisraelam, get lost. It's our land. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he gave it to you for your time, and now he gave it to us. He gave it to the one, Vinosna La'asher Yashar Be'enav, the one who made the statement this week. Vinosna La'asher Yashar Be'enav is a person who is Yashar Be'enav. This never, ever happened before in over 2,000 years. Halei Davar? When did it happen? Wednesday. HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, Rosh Chodashim. This is not something you could ignore. The details of the plan may sound exactly the same. Like 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50, even 70 years ago, they were probably talking about these things. You can rehash the old news, but it's different this time. Because the message was delivered. The message of this Rashi was delivered by a person who actually is part of the message, the real message. And no one knows what that means. No one knows what seed that can plant. The toikif, the kedusha, the sanctity that's in that seed, where that can lead, what can grow from that, and how it can even be instrumental in the bringing of Mashiach. It's not something just to wash away. We have a very big problem in the Haredi world, where everyone here is part of the Haredi world, where today we shy away from trying to combine current events with Torah. It used to be an art. It used to be a big art, Rabbanim. Rabbanim, that's what a sermon is. A sermon is not about a good vart of the parasha. A sermon is the New York Times. You bring in the New York Times. You read the New York Times. Hafeichba dekula ba. Are you a participant in this world? Or you're locked up. You make for yourself your own ghetto in your basement. You don't know what's going on in the world. Come to shul today, unfortunately, but it's a different type of world. Rabbanim, most of the Rabbanim, 95% of Rabbanim in what we call the Haredi world, even in the modern Orthodox world, they're presenting very beautiful Divrei Torah, which is very beautiful. Nothing is wrong with that. Very Choshva Divrei Torah. But there is an ancient, time-honored principle of hafeichba dekulaba, to look at the world, to look at the parasha, to try to understand, to see the Yad Hashem and his derech unfold before our eyes as we live and we participate in being people who also share this world with other people. And what happened this week is not something you can just, you know, That's not for me. I want to hear a vart. Just tell me a story from the Dubna Market. A mosh from the Dubna Market. It's not an excuse. It's right in front of your face, right staring at you. Wednesday, the first mitzvah takes you back to Rashi, the first Rashi. Peace plan, big news. They've been talking about this already for 2 years. 2 years. And it happened on that day. And who's the on the news? Jared Kushner. I never heard him talk before. He doesn't talk too much. You don't hear him in public talk too much. Okay, you don't even hear him talk. Okay, not everyone's a fan of Jared Kushner, I know. Okay, everyone has their, that one's a fan of Trump either. Everyone has their, but one thing you cannot tell me that's not true. He is a Shomer Torah. And that he is a Yosha. Hayosha be'enav, l'man asher yitzaves, banav yitzbeis achav, lishmar. Derech Hashem. He's never been so firm, you should know. Ivanka did a job on him. Everyone knows that. He's probably a lot firmer than he ever would have been if not for the fact that he's married to a very, very religious woman. A wife can do things that no one else can do. And it's absolutely true. Everyone knows. And it's Pilei Ploim. Amish Pilei Ploim, what we were zoiched to witness in our lifetimes. People, our great-grandparents, would never fathom such a thing. Impossible. Haloidavar. Okay, let's now go to Avart. Okay, let's go to Avart. Let me show you with an idea which really is taken from, partially, from Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. Okay, it's from Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. It's not everything is from him, but there is bits and pieces, and we're going to develop it a little bit more. We have this very interesting mitzvah where Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, let's go further. The Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm asking you a favor, Moshe Rabbeinu, please ask the people to borrow clothing, gold and silver from the Egyptians. Let me read the words of the pasuk. The truth is that this mitzvah appears twice, Parsha Shemois, and it's different. It's not the same. It's a whole different mitzvah in Parsha Shemois than it is in Parshas Bo. But that's not what we're going to discuss. The general principle of the Yish'alu, borrow, Ish me'eis re'eyu, Isha me'eis re'usa, klech. Chesef and Chleizov, which simply means borrow. Chazal tells during the days of Choshech, they were able to enter into the homes of the Egyptians and spy and see what kind of valuables they had. And then when it came time to leave, you would knock on the door and say, I know that you have in your safe, you have a gold necklace. You know, when I go to the Har Sinai, I want to be dressed in a nice gold necklace. You have a nice ring, you have a nice belt, some nice clothing. Can I borrow your motorcycle? I know you have a nice scooter, an electric scooter. We can use one of those when we get out to the desert. A flashlight, maybe? That would be helpful. Okay, whatever you got, give us. And don't forget the laptop and the latest iPhone. That would also help us, and include the charger and the generator. We can use that as well. Make sure you throw into the station wagon all of your gadgets. V'yish'alu ish me'eis re'eyu v'yish'a me'eis re'usa klei chesef u'chlei zahav. They cleaned out Mitzrayim. Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, please don't forget about this mitzvah. Don't forget this. It's so important to me. No, Hashem begs. Moshe, where do you find Hashem ever begging someone to do something? It's very bizarre. Moshe has to beg. Shalom aleichem. I thought you went away. What? You hear Baruch Hashem? Yeah, okay. Are you okay?
Yeah, no.
Okay. So over here, the Pasuk says, let me just find the right words, the Pasuk. It's in the beginning.
First says it?
V'yish'alu.
Gimel Chafbeis.
Gimel, what's her?
Chafbeis.
No, that's in Shemos.
Yeah, you want to?
I want in here in Parashas Bo.
Yud Aleph Beis.
Thank you. Yud Aleph Beis Daber No Baozne Ha'om the Yishalu Ish Me'eis Re'eu V'Yishal Me'eis Rusak Lechazav Lechazav Rashi Daber No Eino Elo L'Shoin Bakasha B'Bakasha Mimcha His Hero Malkach. He warned them Shelo Yoimar Oysoi Tzadik Avram V'Avodum V'Inu Oysam kiyim bohem. V'achre chen yeser b'chush gadol lo kiyim bohem. Okay, what's going on over here? So first of all, Shamshin Fal Hirsch, he says something no one else says, maybe someone else says, he says, the Olam is making a very big mistake. They translate the word v'yish'alu to mean borrow. Whoever said it means borrow. There's only one place in the entire Torah it says borrow in Parashas Mishpatim. V'chiyish'al ish me'imre'eyu kesef okelem. A person borrows. Okay, in that context it means borrow. But generally, throughout the entire Tanakh, study Tanakh, you can't just make a statement without knowing the entire Tanakh, the word v'yishalu means to request. In the context of Parshas Mishpatim, it's a request of borrowing something. I'm only going to use it temporarily and return it. But the literal translation of the word is to make a request. If it means here to borrow, isn't that unethical? Everyone asks that question. It's unethical. It's unethical. We want to borrow. Borrow means we're going to return. We're going to return. You're not going to return nothing. You're not planning to return. You're leaving for good. Now, there are answers. Because originally the plan was only to go for 3 days and come back. There are answers. There are a lot of answers to that question. A lot of different technical answers to get out of that question. One answer I personally favor is that that's right, we're still borrowing it. You know why? Because Hashem wants us to always remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. Every time you look at your jacket, it's not mine. You know where I got this from? Egypt. It's theirs. That's right. Maybe one day I'll give it back to them. You continuously will be borrowing your possessions until you die. And when your children inherit it, they're also borrowing it. Forever, until, I don't know when, we'll figure out when to give it back. You know why you're always borrowing it? Don't you ever forget you left Mitzrayim. Leman tizkar es yoim tseischa me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. Yimei chayecha hayamim kol yimei chayecha haleilis. V'achacham amim yimei chayecha elam azeh kol yimei chayecha l'havi l'mosa Mashiach. Don't ever forget you left Mitzrayim. Every time you look at your jacket, it's not mine. That's right. Attack. It's not. It's borrowed. It really is borrowed. Gonna give it back. Eventually. Eventually you'll give it back. When? I don't know. Eventually. In the meantime, remember, you left Mitzrayim. That's a very powerful answer, I think. But Rav Shamshon Fuller says it's not the answer. I don't have to come on to that. The Yishalu means make a request. What's the request? Severance pay. We were slaves. We served here for 210 years. There were three tekufos of slavery. The last one, the last 86 years was torture. We want severance. Pay up. What's the purpose of this? You owe it to us. Be happy you're leaving. Get out of here. What, you want severance also? No. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, here's the message. Dr. Fruchter. Hashem gives the message. The message is, I don't want my people to leave like fugitives. I want you to leave Egypt with dignity. I don't want you to live with a slave mentality forever. You were slaves, that's right, you were slaves here for 210 years. It got to you, it got into your blood. I'm now coming to make you into the Am HaNivchar. I don't want an Am HaNivchar that has a slave mentality, that's affected, that's abused, that's going to need psychologists and a team of professionals to come and sit with you and counsel you and give you therapy because you've been abused your whole life. When I want you to walk out of that land, I want you to walk out with dignity. And what's the dignity? I want you to stand up for your rights. You're leaving. Don't leave as a fugitive. The Yishalu. We're leaving. You have committed a crime against humanity. Pay up. It's not so much how much money we're going to get. They'll never be able to fully repay us what they owe us. But let's come to an understanding here that you have committed a crime against human beings. We're human beings. And we worked for you and you owe us money. Let's make a cheshbon. And if you can't afford to pay us the full debt, so you'll owe us the money. But in the meantime, let's clean out the bank. Let's bring out the piggy bank and let's break it open and let's take all the money out. V'yish'alu daber no be'oznei ha'am. I beg you, Moshe, don't take these people out as broken people who have been abused, who are going to need therapists. Daber no be'oznei ha'am v'yish'alu. They should stand up for their rights and they should make demands. We worked for you, pay up. Ish me'es re'eyu. This is the ultimate rechush gadol, dignity. There's no greater rechush in this world than dignity. Now they say about the Chassam Sofer, they say about the Gedol Yisrael, they put on the table at the Seder the Sfarim. And they would say, this is the rechush gadol. Not the gold chandeliers, not the silver goblets, not all the fancy bells and whistles, the red carpet. The rechush is the Torah. The chidushim. They put on the table the chidushi Torah. You don't even need to come on to that. You know what the real rechush gadol is? Dignity. Self-worth. I'm also a person. I'm also a life form. Rashi says, Bebakosha b'mucha, hisira malkach, shelo yoimar oisoi tzadik. Avraham. I don't want the tzaddik Avraham to say, Ribbono shel Olam, look what you did to them. You made them into slaves. Vavodim v'inui oisam. You reduced them to garbage. But v'achrei chein yeitzer b'chush gadol lo'kiyim. You reduced them to garbage and you took garbage out of Egypt. Hashem says, don't you dare let Avraham Avinu say that. Don't let Avraham Avinu say, Hashem, you made my people into garbage and you took garbage out of Egypt. Avraham Avinu should say you reduced them to garbage, but you took kings out of Egypt. You elevated them. You gave them dignity. You gave them chashivos. Rechush gadol is justice. Justice. We worked here. When you work, you're entitled to be paid on time. What you deserve. Comparable pay. Competitive wages. There are benefits. There are perks. There's something called severance. Pay up. That's what the pasuk means. That's the title of Rechush Gadol. Rav Shamshon Faloshi also, he doesn't say everything, the little prat, but this is basically his yesoid. And this Hitaka does say, going further, why matzah? Why did Hashem give us the mitzvah of this week's parasha of matzah? What is that all about? The answer is, if the Jews are going to go out with bread, baked bread, hot baked bread, you know what they'll say? We were slaves. We escaped out of Egypt. We escaped. Moshe Rabbeinu, he brought upon them 10 makos. It's the slave mentality. Hashem says matzah. You know why matzah? Ki gorshu mimitzrayim. Every year you're going to remember, you didn't escape. You were sent out. The Egyptians told you, leave. There's a very big difference between escaping from Rikers Island in the middle of the night by digging a tunnel versus the guards open the gates and say, go, you're free to go. And go right away. Don't stay here one more second. Don't have time to bake your bread. You'll have to go by 7-Eleven. You'll go, you'll pick up some bread. Get out of here now. Leave. By eating matzah, we're reminded we did not leave in a frame of mind of a slave, of a fugitive. We left as a free man. We left with dignity. We demanded severance for our service in Egypt. We contributed to this society. We've brought you blessing. We deserve compensation. We're human beings. There's dignity. We're not going to escape from jail in the middle of the night. We're going to leave midday, and you're going to send us out quickly. And we're not going to even have time to bake. You're going to send us out so quickly, we're not even going to have time to let our dough rise. And we'll always remember, you threw us out. You sent us out in haste. We didn't leave as slaves on our own, trying to surreptitiously escape Egypt and take with us some food. The whole attitude of Yitzias Mitzrayim, according to Rav Shamshon Yefal Hirsch and other Mefarshim, as they read into the Psugim, is Hashem was so concerned that the Yitzia should be in the ultimate state of chashivos, of dignity, of importance, of the value and the chashivos of life. And let me give you another example to add to that idea. The Makkah, right before Makkas Bechorois, was Makkas Choshech. There's a very beautiful vart from Rabbi Raphael Pelkowitz, Zecher Tzadik Levrach. He passed away not that long ago. He's the father
of the Weishul,
right? Yeah. He was the rabbi before Rabbi Feiner. Long before Rabbi Feiner was the rabbi. Was there by Rabbi Pelkowitz. Rabbi Feiner, I was always very impressed how much covered Rabbi Eitan Feiner gave Rabbi Pelkowitz. He's a real rav. Rabbi Feiner was a real mensch. Real rav knows how to treat the old rav, how to be mechabed the old rav. He had for him the ultimate derech eretz. Eitan Feiner for Rabbi Pelkowitz, the old rav of the White Shul. I know he's the father, the grandfather of the famous Dr. David Pelkowitz.
Father
of David Pelkowitz, a very, very famous psychologist, both.
Psychologist,
okay? He talks world-renowned. He's a big mumcha, and he's very, very good. He has a lot of very fascinating, novel things you've never heard before to say. And so he has a book, one of his drashas called Table Talk. Now, what I'm telling you now is not every prat is there, but a good chunk comes straight from him. And in Makkah Choshech, the pasuk says, there was darkness. V'loy rohu ish es ochiv. One man did not see the other. V'loy kam ish mimikoymai. Pasuk of Gimel. V'loy rohu ish es ochiv. V'loy kamu ish mitachtov. Shloish es yamim. And then the pasuk includes, U'lechol b'nei Yisrael hoya or b'moshavaisam. Now I'm going to add a prat that he doesn't say. I think it adds more to, but basically it's his yisoid. And he says, what exactly was the makkah of Choshech? And why does the pasuk include, have to tell us at the end, hoya or b'moshavaisam? So one of his main yisoids is, very simple yisoid, and that you can have all of the milos in life, but if no one appreciates you, it's worthless. If you have a bal tzfila, a chazan, you bring in a Yosla Rosenblatt into the home of the deaf. or not even the deaf, the home of the hard of hearing. And he gets up to Davin, Musaf on Yom Kippur. Do you need a Yosla Rosenblatt to daven in an old age home where everyone there is deaf? It's a waste. It's a pure waste. Okay? Are you going to go take someone who's blind, go on a trip, to take them to a museum to see the beautiful paintings, people who can't see? It's a waste. If Hashem gives a person blessing, talent, something unique, it has to be appreciated. And if it's not appreciated, not only is it a waste, it's painful. It's painful. Here you have talent, and you have unique koichos hanefesh, and there's no one to use it on. There's no one to appreciate it. The bracha of Klal Yisrael is ulachol b'nei Yisrael hoyor b'moshvaisam. The key word of Pelkowitz says the word b'moshvaisam. In their settings. Every person was zoiche to be a source of light against a backdrop of an environment where people appreciated what he had to offer. Every person in this world provides a different ray of light. There are different shades of light. There are different forms of light. But the light can only be appreciated if the environment is such that those in its setting appreciate the light. ulchol b'nei Yisrael, like only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do something like this, where Hashem can put a person who has talent, have him be born into a certain society, in a certain community, where his unique talent will be realized and appreciated by the people who he is in contact with. If you take this very same person and bring him to another community, another family, another part of the world, in that part of the world, they don't go for this. They don't appreciate it. It doesn't mean anything to them. It's unique to the Ribbono Neshama to take each neshama with its unique koichos hanefesh and to plant them exactly where, in the right setting, where it will be appreciated. The word b'moy shvoisam conveys exactly that idea. For each single individual in Klal Yisrael, l'chol b'nei Yisrael, there was aur, there was a ray of light against a backdrop b'moy shvoisam of each one of their own unique environment, settings. And that's why there was aur. Now let's go a little bit further. He doesn't say all the details now, but going back, that's why it's contrasted versus the previous pasuk. What was the makkah for the Egyptians? The makkah was choshech. What is the Pshushal Mikra? One man did not look at the other because it was pitch black dark, and the darkness was so thick they couldn't stand up. They were glued to their chairs, something supernatural. A thickness they couldn't pick themselves up. They couldn't move. That's the Pshuta Shel Mikra. But the drash, based upon what Pelkowitz says, is the curse that Hashem brought upon the Egyptians was, they were people of talent. Make no mistake about that. Don't be so naive and think that the Egyptians were just barbarians. That's not an approach to Torah. You have to assume that the Egyptians were cultured, were brilliant people, innovative people, people of ingenuity, creativity, a complex society. Everyone had something to offer, something unique to offer. But you know what the curse was? Hashem brought upon the Egyptians at this point in time, choshech, darkness. It doesn't just mean Hashem brought upon them physical darkness. The entire sequence of events that occurred through the Makkos, like we learned, brought them into a frame of mind. It was a frame of mind of depression where v'loy rohu ish es ochiv. No one was willing to appreciate the talent of his fellow man. Each Egyptian was a Nobel Prize winner. Make that assumption. They were a Nobel Prize winner. So don't you think you should appreciate what your brother has to offer? It's something that you should look at. You should appreciate what he has to offer. V'loikamu ish mitachtav. You know what that means? They had no respect for one another. They did not stand up as an expression of respect. When the Rebbe walks in, you stand up. When your father walks in, you stand up. Because you respect him. Being that in Egypt, their frame of mind reached such a degree, a level of v'loy rohu ish es achiv. No one could care less about each other. No one was looking to appreciate the accomplishments, the achievements, the unique talent of their fellow man. Mimela v'loy kamu ish mimikoymai. No one would get up. No one would respect his fellow man. Society sunk to a low. Mitzad Sheni, by Klal Yisrael, the respect and the dignity that each man had for their other, for the other, soared to an extreme. Ulchol b'nei Yisrael, every single person in Klal Yisrael, Hoyor was viewed as filling up when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Nismale kol habayis or. One person, one bayis. Moshe provided or in his Moshev. Amram, Yocheved, Miriam, and Aaron was the Moshev of Moshe Rabbeinu. They appreciated Moshe Rabbeinu, but that was it. That's where it started and stopped. That was the R, and that was the Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael dignity. That when it came time for Yitzias Mitzrayim, the scene, that it, how it all started. Vayelechish mi beis levi, kachas bas levi. Vatar vatele bein. Vatero oisoi ki toifu rashi nismale kol habayis or. And that or was appreciated. Vatitzpineu shiloisha yirochim. Why did they hide him for 3 months? Because in that bias there was a moshav. They appreciated. That scene now was replicated 600,000 times. That was the end of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now we're ready for Makas B'choyos. We're ready to leave when we've gone from one bias, Nismale with R, with the Moishav, that appreciated it, to every bias in Klal Yisrael, repeating that exact scene. Dignity, chashivus, appreciation for each person. And Hashem says, let's go further. Like we said, make sure you demand your rights from this society. Don't leave with a slave mentality. And make sure when you leave, you're not going to be able to bake your bread because they're going to send you out in midday like kings, not like slaves.
Did the Egyptians give it willingly?
Yeah, they did. They did it willingly. Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it. Yes, yes, they did it willingly. The Chazal, clear as day. They changed their mind later on, they did it willingly. Of course. Of course. The message is dignity. Dignity. This is the ultimate rechush gadol. All right? Have a wonderful Shabbos. Have a dignified Shabbos.